Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on the Tweetins at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Michael, you can find on the Twitterverse at Review and Roast. Today, we are going to be talking to you about Mission Red Planet. This is the second edition put out by Fantasy Flight. And it's basically all about Victorian era Earth, and they've discovered there's all these great resources on Mars, so let's go mine the shit out of it. And this game is that
game
vision.
Okay.
It's basically the movie Promised Land in space.
I never saw Promised Land.
Me neither.
It was okay.
Did you review it?
I did.
Damn it.
Matt Damon, John Krasinski, about fracking. Kind of slow. Not the greatest movie ever.
Oh, because they frack on Mars?
No, they fracked in Pennsylvania in that movie.
Mm. How does that relate to Mars then?
This is the old steampunk version of them fracking in Mars. Mars.
Why don't you get off
in space?
Why don't you get off to D?
Seriously.
Like, seriously, be a water problem if people live there, but they don't, so who cares?
Well, lucky for them, one of the resources found in this game is ice, so you won't have a water problem.
That's now, how you get the octopus out, though.
Remind me of something I don't want to talk about right now. Boom.
What? The movie Europa Report?
No, that movie was awesome.
That's what I was talking about. Ice.
No, you said octopus, and I was thinking about somebody. That got weird. Okay, so if you remember, probably about a month and a half ago, we did a small box, another Fantasy Flight game called Citadels. And in that game, you know, each card has a number, and each, you know, card has a certain effect. And you have a little, everyone has their own little deck. Nope. Not in Citadels, they don't.
Whoops.
Falling apart, son.
There's one game called Monopoly where people do stuff.
All right, so Mission Red Planet. Basically, it's one of those games where it's made for, I think, 3 to 7, is it? Or 3 to 6 players?
2 to 6.
Well, we'll say 3 to 6. It has a two-player version, but it's different from, you know, you gotta change the rules in order to do it, which is annoying to me. But basically, everyone gets their own little bag of people, and you get a small deck of cards from 1 through 9, and each number has a different effect. Like number 1. Is the pilot card. You get to change the destination on one of your ships or one of the ships that are either docked or already launched. So basically what it is you have a little launch pad, you have Mars, and you have Phobos, which is the moon of Mars. And you play your cards in order to populate the ships. And once the ship reaches its maximum capacity, it automatically launches. And then you place your guys on Mars, basically depending on where that ship was going. So some of the cards allow you to populate with 3 people. Some of them allow you to, you put one guy in a ship and you can blow up another ship.
And then don't forget the most important part, though, is that the cards,
I destroyed you guys.
That's true. The cards are numbered, and the number correlates to when you take your turn that round.
Correct.
So the higher, it's a countdown from 9, like a launch, and the higher the card, the less the effect. Obviously, you get to go first, but if somebody takes the number 2 card, which is, I forget what
soldier,
is that soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah, soldier can do a lot of cool stuff, but he's also almost guaranteed to be going last. So it's one of those sort of, it's a huge strategic factor when picking characters, which I failed horribly on.
But the nice thing about that is, say you pick number 2 or even number 1 and you go last, now you're the first player for the next round. Doesn't mean you're going to go first, but if you tie with somebody, you basically are a tiebreaker, is basically what it comes down to.
Which is important.
Very
more
much
important than you think.
Which we learned quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the saboteur can place people in a ship and then blows up another docked ship. So if a ship launches, then you play the saboteur and the other guy plays the saboteur and you get to go first. You put a dude on one ship, you blow up the other ship. You know what I mean?
And then the other guy cannot do his action.
Correct.
Yeah, because I know I got
Yeah, I think
the second game we played, I got screwed right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Brian got screwed two or three times out of
Very first turn of the very first game, I played the travel agent.
Oh yeah,
which is you place three people on one ship, and if you can't
place them, you can't do it.
Yeah, if you can't place three,
all three, right?
You get nothing. So it's like if you get it, it's pretty good.
Yep.
If there's only a spot for two, well, nice turn for you. Get zero.
And well, and here's the beauty of it too is once you've chosen your card, you don't get it back.
Right.
It's out until you play number nine, which basically says you put one guy in a ship and you put all the cards back in your hand, which is nice, but you
also burns a turn.
Yeah, you pretty much ain't doing shit.
Yeah, you burned a turn to just place one astronaut when basically most other cards allow you to place a minimum of two or one and a added special effect that also either would give you a guy or lets you take one of the other characters or one of the other players' little astronauts off the board or move them to some extent.
Well, since you're looking at the box there, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's 10 spaces that to go to, including the moon.
I don't want
to
count.
It's 10. We're not talking about 30 here.
I don't have the board. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So, anywho, when you set up the game...
10, including the moon.
Right. So, each one of those spaces gets... Houston, we have confirmation. each one of those spaces gets a face-down... A face-down tile, and when you land there, the first one to land there flips the tile over, and there's three different resources. There's two made-up metals, more or less, and ice. Ice is worth 1 point. The other one's worth 2 points. The other one's worth 3 points. And there's three different scoring rounds in the game. And then on top of that, you have everyone starts out with one goal, but you have potential to get more goals and or have discoveries, which you place on a certain area of the moon, or the board. And it's revealed at the end of the game. It could hurt you. It could help you. You don't know until the end unless you're the one that placed it. Yada, yada, yada.
And I think every time I've played this, it's been three player. It's just been the three of us here. This game's got to be bananas with five or six people.
I think the most we did was four.
Yeah, the first time we played with four.
But that was a long time ago. And then a few months back, me and Brian were like, yeah, we haven't played that since the first time. I remember being fun. Get it out, set it all up, and I'm like, oh my God, it's got like the special rules for two people. I'm like, let's not play this right now. Who knows? It might have been awesome, but I just feel like when you have to have special rules to play with two people, it's probably best played with three or more.
Yeah.
Who knows? But we're going to go into what we're going to go into more detail of what we liked about it. So I'm going to let Brian go first because he hasn't said shit.
Damn.
Doing it.
What do I like about this game? Well,
nothing.
I like nothing. You're right. No, it's, again, it's got the basic framework of a game like Risk, where it's a area control game and, you know, you're trying to get the other guys, players, astronauts, out of the region to move yourself in and increase your presence there for points and resources and so on. But what makes this interesting is, realistically, because the Saboteur exists and the Femme Fatale exists and there's a few cards that can blow up a ship or reroute a ship or whatever, you really want to get your astronauts onto a ship and launched into space as quickly as possible because you want to get to Mars. You want to get as many guys up there as possible. So sometimes, you know, you just take what you can get, which kind of makes it interesting. It's not like Risk where, like, you start where you want and you kind of move on where you want, or if you're like, say, in Conquest of Narath, where you, if you pick a race, you start on a certain part of the board. This game, it's kind of not entirely in your control.
Where you don't even know where the ships are going until they flip over.
Yeah, you can go, I'm going to place three guys, and the next guy can go, oh, well, I'm going to put your ship here instead. And you're like, God damn it, I picked that ship specifically because it's going there and it only takes three guys, and I have three guys.
Well, that ship has four guys, and I'm blowing it up because you can go scratch.
That nothing sucks more when you place a guy and you're like, this is the only one I need. And someone's like, oh, yeah, and I just blew your ship up. You're like,
I think someone blew your ship up.
Or someone else. You dastardly fool.
Or when someone has the same number and they go first and they screw you out of the ship altogether.
Did I do that?
Probably.
I think I did.
That's happened.
That's happened to me, I know. I mean,
that's the moment where I look to the sky and go, Twix!
Yeah, pretty much.
Now I want a Twix. Anyone?
Does that conclude your likenings?
Oh, no.
Okay, keep going.
No, God, no.
This game rules. This game rules.
I like the rolls. The roll cards, like, it feels good when you get it and it works the way you want it to. Sucks, like I said, the first time we played, I'm like, I'm going for three right off the bat. Put out the travel agent, but, you know, again, the better cards.
Three like a man.
Better card. See, again, the better cards are the lower numbers. The lower numbers come towards the end. You know, sometimes you just don't
tougher get to play right away for sure.
It's a total dick move when somebody puts one on the ship that needs three.
Yep.
And then somebody else puts one on the ship needs two. And then someone blows up the third ship. And you're like, well, guess I'm sitting this round out.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think I used mine after both of you guys had either saboteured or something. Or at least
The nice thing is when a player plays a card, it stays face up in front of them. You can see what they kind of have left. So if if you're really paying attention, you can kind of guess where they might be going, you know. But you also try to kind of remember your own strategy. So.
Yeah, and I like the mission cards because even though the main objective is to control an area and move around on Mars, some missions, you know, give you bonus points for killing your guys. Some give you for having one guy in each area. Some have bonus points for having the most guys in all in one. I mean, there's times where you're watching somebody do something and you're like, what are you doing?
Oh,
exactly?
And the first game we played, I thought you were the biggest dummy I ever met.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, you did read the card wrong?
I read the card wrong.
So
I'm sitting there going, all I got to do is this and I'm going to score like 50 points. Turns out it was only in one area and it was only in the third production phase. So really, I would have got like 6 points and
yeah,
totally screwed that up. But, you know, for the whole game, I'm like, I can't believe they're letting me get away with this.
I think I even made a comment like, you better have the best mission card ever.
I
can't believe you're like walking out of that area.
Yeah, because I was killing it in points because I was picking up all the threes.
Oh, yeah, I gave you majority in a spot.
I'm legitimately upset about that. So
I literally walked out of a spot I had majority in, gave it to you, and everyone was like, why did you just do that? And to the naked eye, I looked like the biggest dummy ever. Be like in Risk if somebody goes, I attack, and you're like, I'll just retreat.
Yeah, it was basically that.
It's all yours. In fact, here's my victory points. But again, like, this game does the Risk thing, but keeps the time down to keep it from getting repetitive. Just when it starts to get a little bit... And again, sometimes it's hard to keep your guys on the planet because somebody might just throw them into orbit.
Yeah, and we had the timer running for Scott's dinner on the second game, and it was... We called it, and it was a 45-minute timer, and there was 5 minutes left when we wrapped up the second game. So, I mean, it plays pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. That's actually getting to, I guess, what I liked about this game is the fact that you can literally set it up in 5 minutes, and if you're quick enough, you can play through in 30 to 40 minutes. Like, this is a game you can sit down, and you can play it 2-3 times in a couple hours, and you're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, I think the first one probably was a little longer, but I feel like if we sat down and played one more after that while it was all set up, I think we would have knocked out in, like, 30 minutes because we already...
Yeah.
Like, the problem, the cool thing, and the bad thing is, like... You think you know what you're doing after you get a couple games under your belt.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Here was the biggest problem, because where I really shined in the first game was I loaded up the moon with people, and the soldier's card is, you know, you put the guys here, and then you could take three guys off the moon and put them anywhere you fucking want on the planet, which gave me majority in all three spots that I did. But now everyone just saw that move, so if I try to do it again... I couldn't do it in the second game. Mike tried to do it. Don't remember if he got it, but he immediately started piling people on Phobos.
Well, it's all about what ship is up to, because in the first game, I specifically couldn't even go to the moon if I wanted to, because it just so happened that the two shuttles go in there. I was the third. I picked the third one, and you guys had loaded up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and so, that's the beauty of it, because there's
ships only have a certain capacity, and then that's it. So yeah. if only three people are going to Phobos, and I'm the third guy, one of you guys probably put two on there.
Right. So, and you have a ship deck, and the ship deck has, you know, one or two cards for each spot, probably more, but it also has cards with question marks on them. And the first person to place a guy on that ship gets to decide where it goes. But then guess what? If somebody fucking has the pilot, that's changing again. Hey, guess what? Someone's got a saboteur. Now that ship
ain't doing shit. Oh, if I'm playing a saboteur after you specifically put a ship and put a name on it, that ship's getting blown up.
Oh, absolutely. Like, because there goes your strategy, fuckface.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. This game is so simple. I mean, it's a fantasy flight game. The rule book is 4 pages. So, I mean, I know their rule books kind of suck, and they're usually very not well written.
This one as well.
This one, it's nowhere near as bad as others, but it's literally 4 pages. You read through it, you play through once, and you got it nailed down. Well, it's, like, just, it's a super easy game
to
play.
With a couple of basics, everything plays just the way it sounds like it does. Yeah. I mean, if you can read a card, you're going to be fine.
Well, let's just touch on the move action just specifically, whereas the card says move from this space to any other space, but the book says, to, in a clarification sense, you can move to any adjacent space.
Right.
So if you're not...
Yeah, I totally cheated the first game.
Yeah.
I mean, inadvertently. I probably did it anyway.
It's cheating only if you did it intentionally.
It's cheating only if you win.
Well, I intentionally didn't ask. Does that count?
That is actually a sound strategy. I can't argue it. But I want to say this as well. I kind of knew who was the designer of this game, but now I looked at the actual name of the box because you didn't mention it at the beginning. This is a Bruno Fiduti and Bruno Cathala game. And,
The Brunos.
I've played Bruno Fiduti games, and I can't think of any off the top of my head other than Citadels. But Bruno Cathala is a man, and he's designed one of my current favorite games by a long shot, and that's Five Tribes, which I will play.
So wait a minute.
Any day of the week.
No wonder it resembles Citadels.
I get the feeling.
Yeah, that's neat.
I kind of want to play Citadels again too. By
I do too.
Well, I'm just saying. I
remember
add
enjoying
the other cards in.
I'm a big Bruno Cathala fan. So
I'm a big gaming Cathala. Fan.
Well, there's some designers I like better than others.
I actually like Bruno Cthulhu.
Bruno Cthulhu?
No,
nothing. No, not really.
What do you got over here?
As far as what?
What do you like?
Oh, it did. I didn't like anything about it. You guys just ruined it for me.
Because you lost both games?
Yeah, I did lose. Well, actually, that's one of the things I like about the game, though, is that I really wasn't overly butthurt about losing.
Not only that, you never lost by that much, because even if you're not collecting the main, like the highest resource in the game, if you have the most
you
of the worst.
You still got a shot.
If you have the most of the worst,
you get
9 points.
Well, here's the thing, too. With the secret face-down missions that each player has individually.
When
plus,
you read it right.
True that. And all the, when you slide them under the board, what are
discoveries.
Those?
Discoveries.
Discoveries.
Yeah.
All that stuff keeps you in the game, because there are some games where it's like say I have 20 points and you have 80 points. If I know what your exact score is, then at some point you're like, all right,
I got no prayer.
I might as well just blow through my turns. Who gives a shit? But this game, it's like that whole second game, everyone's like, you already got it.
Even that first game that you did win, you had like all the tokens on the board and you didn't win by like 30 points. I think Brian was second, right, with pretty close or something?
No, he had like 67, I had like 40, and you had like 39, so
yeah.
It was like...
I mean, but
it was
still
close
in terms
of who was in
last. I still thought me and you were 100 points away, though, honestly. And again, when we started that first game, I completely forgot the fact that the different minerals are different point values, so...
Minerals?
I'm just spreading dudes around.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, I like a game where you don't really know who's really ahead until the very end.
Yeah.
Like we're over the just to kind of compare over the weekend, we taught my nephews how to play Ticket to Ride, and my 8-year-old nephew, the whole time, like Scott and my other nephew were ahead by 4 or 5 points, and he's like, "Oh, we're losing." I'm like, "Don't worry about it." I go, "It ain't even close." I go, "I'm going to show you the beauty of this game in a minute." And then you know, as time went on, he's just like, "Oh my God, we won!" And I'm like, "Yeah, we won," because you don't really know who's winning till it's over.
Yeah, you don't even know if Scott's got his routes.
Right. You could have.
You know what I mean?
You could be down.
He's got
100
points.
Points.
He's just placing all 6 trains. They don't fucking go nowhere.
Yeah, you never. That's what I'm saying. A game like that, I like where you feel like you're still in it, even when you're sort of not in it on the surface. And this game is like that because there's so many secret objectives. You just never know.
And you never know when you're going to get another one. Because there's only one card that lets you pull a card, but in that deck, there's 3 different types of cards. There's action cards, there's discovery cards, and mission cards.
We didn't get no actions.
No, I don't.
I never get
any actions. I don't recall seeing that either.
That's true.
Amen, brother.
That's true.
Literal and figurative.
So are we done talking about what we loved?
I kind of like this game, though.
I kind of want to play it right now.
I could love it. I don't know if I love it yet. I got a crush on it from afar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to crush it
because
I'm about to talk about what I don't like.
I'm thinking about
going first now.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to go. No, I'm going to ask again. Whatever. I'm just going to mumble into the microphone. Just be upset.
Fuck me, dirt butt.
Bullshit. All right, I am going to go first. The thing I don't like about it is this is another typical game. I love the fact that we burned through the second game in 30 minutes, and the first one probably took, or 40 minutes, and the first one probably took 10 more minutes than that. But again, this is one of them games. It's like you finally get a strategy, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's one more turn left. It's over.
Yep.
So again, it's just one of those things where it's like the strategy of the game is superb, but you don't get time to really effectively get anything more than lucky-ish.
Well,
I
here's
guess.
The deal. You got to figure.
You got to catch some luck in this game, even if with the best plan.
Everyone has 9 cards. There's 10 rounds.
Right.
So. Right. But if somebody plays
3-9, 3-9, 3-9, 3-9.
Right, yeah.
I'm just saying, if somebody plays a card that essentially cancels out your best
move. Your big move. I'm going for big air, and you get stuffed at the hoop.
Exactly.
Like, that's it. Get shit that out of my house.
Face!
Yeah.
That's precisely. Remember that YouTube video of that guy who was in the dunk contest at halftime of a basketball game? He was like this gigantic, I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but he was like really out of shape.
Robust.
And he went to do the springboard off the trampoline dunk, and he had the ball gripped in both hands, and he went right past the front of the hoop and missed.
I do.
That is like literally this game.
That is this game sometimes. Yeah.
But that's part of what I love about it.
Yeah, no, I'm like I said, the thing I liked about this game is I lost twice, and I wasn't even like really butthurt. I just wanted to play again.
Right.
You know, so I like, while I get it, it's just we've had a, you know, I feel like most of the games we like, we, you know, especially some of the quick hitters like this one, which I just think that we always want more of those ones, or some of those 2-hour epics that you are losing literally for an hour and 45 minutes, and you're just like, Jesus, I just want this game to be over. Where this one, like, it's like, I want to get to the next one.
Like Game of Thrones, like, you know you're down.
Oh,
you just got to sit there and suck it out for the next
You just got to watch yourself lose troops.
Yes,
and then just like, game. Who do you want to help not win?
Right.
You know.
P.S. I hate that game.
Yeah, I know.
I actually want to play it again, but I hate it right now.
That was a game that was more fun with more players, though, and horribly horrible with less players.
Yes.
You know, and this is the, I mean, outside of, this is probably one of the only games I can think of that I can't really think of something I don't like other than the fact that there's no expansions yet.
Like, I mean, how many moons does Mars actually have?
Well, you can have different cards, just like they did with Citadels, where they have different cards.
Different whole new character set.
A whole new crew that did a whole new slew of things.
Right.
But, like, what else can you really do? Like, I don't
know. Well, I mean, you could change up the order of some of them as well. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like that would
maybe make it more cutthroat. I'm sure you could. I mean, there's a few characters
that can do some stuff. Or add one card, so you have a 10.
Hey, well, here. Add the expansion. Adds a ship dock.
That would be interesting.
Add a fourth ship. Snap.
You could do that anyway. You get one dock per player.
Oh, all together? Oh,
yeah.
Well, then add one additional dock for the group of players.
Then everyone's going to accomplish their shit.
It's not necessarily true.
I don't know. I'm
then really, maybe one guy can blow up two ships.
I'm honestly hard-pressed to find something I don't like about this. And I hate to say that because I usually try to nitpick something. But I cannot think of anything with this game that I don't.
Yeah, it's really not a bad game. Honestly, I really actually kind of like it. I'm probably going to give it like a 5.
I got to look at it.
Well, like you said, how often, like even when you get screwed, you know you're starting over in like 20 minutes. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it's not like, I mean, I still got to hear this shit about you winning a week later. But
I did win twice.
You did. I know. I did not win 2 times at all. At all.
I'll tell you what I hate about this game.
Yeah.
I hate it when you read a card and you think it's awesome, and then you find out at the end that you played it entirely wrong and you didn't get any points at all.
Yes,
that is the worst.
I remember that happening.
Also, I mean, this is going off a small sample size. I feel like 3 players is the sweet spot in this game because the board's pretty small.
Yeah,
and it plays 6 players. I can't imagine how.
Well, that's what I said. It's got to be bananas with 6 because you can't use that travel agent.
Yeah, well, look at that. Look at the,
well, you got more ships though, so I mean, that is a thing.
Look at the first game. First game, 75% of your dudes were dead.
No, yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine if there were 3 other people at the table?
Take that, Blood Rage.
Yeah. Right?
don't you get those guys back?
No.
No, I'm talking about in Blood Rage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Blood Rage you do.
Yeah, see, that's why that game
at the end of the age or whatever.
Yeah, Vikings, see, my game, dick.
You don't get shit back in this game. You lost in the black hole. You're done. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Are we, I mean, does anyone have anything they would do differently? Because I honestly am still, okay.
Well, I, now that you mentioned it.
Well, I was thinking maybe, like, have a double-sided board where you have, like, a dark side or a light side. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bigger. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost make the board bigger and make more
But that
areas.
Might ruin it.
I want outer space squid.
You could have this. You could
Asteroids.
Have
Asteroids?
You can get them.
For what?
I don't know. I was going to say, what might be interesting as a variant is if you had the 10th card, like 10 through 1 or 9 through 0, have a variant where you can only play each card one time, you never get any of them back.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of have to sit there and really think, like, okay, you don't
that
want to
changes
now.
The game.
Do I want to waste it? Do I want to...
God, then, imagine wasting your guy then. I'd literally flip the fucking table over.
That could...
You know what I mean? You go for the travel agent and, like, oh, my God, actually, I don't like your idea at all.
Like
I'm getting pissed off right now, and I didn't get that pissed playing the game. Now I'm just angry. Like, I'm already predetermined to be upset about this situation.
The variant comes with, like, boxing helmets that you put on, so in case somebody punches you in the face, you just...
Like, one guy goes for the saboteur, and one guy goes for the travel agent or something. Oh, man.
No, here's how it works. Two guys do saboteur, one guy does the travel agent, so he puts three dudes on the ship, and then everyone blows everything up.
Oh, man. That would be
hard. No, that wouldn't work. Because the saboteurs, I think.
No, it could work on the second one, though.
Before there was
the
something
ship,
else.
If it was a ship big enough to put three guys on and
place,
not dock
blow
it.
Up, place, blow, whatever.
Yeah.
This game needs an app.
For what?
So when you launch a ship, it goes...
No, that's what Scott's for. He likes to make
this
the noise
This game
every
is
time.
A piece of shit for not having sound effects.
Yeah.
You need sound effects, and that's all I got.
Well, come on with the number, then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying like this is the greatest game in the history of board games, but it's not. It's a Bruno Catala game, and Catala is like really good.
We played it once or twice before, and recently re-picking it back up, I actually liked this game more than I remember liking it, and I remembered not liking it. Right. I just remember playing it.
It cuts out all.
I feel like that's how Jupiter Space is going to be too when we play that again.
Jupiter Space.
That little game I got. Where the board starts falling apart.
Oh, right. Jupiter
Rescue.
Something.
Jupiter Rescue.
But like I was saying, like with like even if his games aren't like straight up tens, the only thing that keeps it from being a 10 maybe is that it's not long enough, or it's all like just basic stuff. It's not like there's a design flaw. It's just like, man, I could use two more rounds. I could use one more production phase. I could use some kind of added thing to give me the opportunity to do the strategy I want and see it through to the end. But I guess in a way, not being able to do that is what makes the game more fun, because you're like, it's kind of like if you're snowboarding and you like do that super triple Lindy backflip to rail slide and land it perfectly. You're like, yes, like you're not going to do it every time. You maybe one out of every 50 times, but that one time out of the 50, it's like, Bazinga, or was it Wu-Tang?
Wu-Tang.
No, then really, just like I said, like it'd be interesting to have the variant and the app to make the noise.
I'm sure they played around with the variant idea. What about you over there? Or did you number? Nobody.
No, numbered. We're numbering now.
Let's do it.
I'm waiting on you guys. Come on with it.
And that's really sad. I drove over here with a number in my head, and I think you talked me up from where I was at.
Really? I can't help it. All right, I'm going to give it a 9.
Jesus!
I can't. I'm looking at all the previous numbers here, and I'm like 8, 8.5, 9, 8, 8.5.
What are all my previous numbers?
6.5, 8, 8.5, 7.5, 8.
6.5 on what?
6.5 on Blood Rage.
That's about right.
I can't help it, man. This game is, like Brian said, it's not perfect. But goddamn, if it ain't a lot of goddamn fun.
Yeah, I know. I was actually leaning towards...
If it went any longer and there wasn't so much like, I can still win this, then it would totally bring the number down. But you can literally always be in the running, and it's over like that.
Yeah.
It's almost a near perfect game for me.
Jesus, man. Take it easy.
I said near.
I can't go that high because, like I said,
8.9.
No, because Bruno Catala made 5 Tribes, and like right now I'm like super in love with that game to the point where I would consider taking it down the aisle. But in terms of games with the Mars theme that I have played, of which this is the only one, this is my favorite one.
Nice.
So I'm going to give this an 8. with potential.
That's what I typed in there for you, too.
Well, I was thinking 7.5. I'm like, I've been giving out some 8s and hires. I feel like I need to kind of tone it down a smidge. But it's, again...
Well,
it's
we did Sheriff of Nottingham and Power Grid.
Yeah, I gave those...
Came in at like 4s and 5s.
I gave those way too high of scores.
What did you get Power Grid?
I don't remember.
5, maybe?
I didn't write those down.
Really? 5? I didn't think it was that bad.
I hate that game.
Play it more than once, and it's like, Jesus. Oh,
I played it a bunch of times. We played it a lot.
It's the same thing every time.
Yeah, no, it's literally the most repetitive.
Okay, the
winner
is the first one
games.
To put out 17 power stations. So what do you guys all do? We're all putting out power stations every fucking turn.
Yeah, no, I don't like... Yeah, remember, because I tried to do the save the money strategy, and that was literally dumb.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
not... Well,
you guys somehow bid on those things. Well, whatever.
Well, that's the one thing I was talking about, too, is like I always start on the East Coast because it's $3 per connection. This guy always starts in the West Coast where it's like $15 to $20 per connection. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, there's no way he's going to win. And he's right there every turn putting out a fucking house.
Didn't we have a tie, me and you?
Probably.
Like down to the number of like 500 points.
You're ruining my day right now. Like, yeah. That game is terrible.
I kind of want to play it now.
Ugh.
It's weird.
We better hurry up before it's sold. Oh, we can give it away on our upcoming
bing, bada, bing, bing,
giveaways.
Bing, bing.
Actually, whatever.
It's a fantastic idea.
But
Brian gave it an 8.
This game's a tight game in terms of like it's nice and compact without being short.
Yeah.
So I'll give it an 8. Needs more mustaches.
I refuse to number this game.
Mike's going to give it a 10.
You guys both took my numbers. No, you didn't. I was never going to give it a 9. But I was in the 8.5 range, so I don't know what I'm going to stick with.
8.25.
I am going to go to an 8.25.
8.36. 1.4. Yeah.
I will go 8.25 because I actually, and this is actually one of the more fun games we've played as far as I'm concerned, is especially this quick and having a board. Because I feel like a lot of these other, you know, Citadels and what was the other one in the black case? With the cards, with the bow and the food.
What?
The other card game. Just that
Lost Cities.
The one that comes in the deck. The black box, remember?
Oh, Legends of Draxia.
That one. That one was another one I really
liked. I don't know
really
why when you said bows, I was thinking like present.
Yeah, I don't know whatever. I didn't, you messed me up. But for actually having a board and components, this game plays super fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For having 100 and something astronaut pieces and tokens and all that stuff. I mean, it's a complete game. And like Brian was saying, it's nicely packaged. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that. But it's up there for me right now.
Well, there you have it. That was Mission Red Planet by Fantasy Flight Games. And you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find Mike at Review and Roast. Don't forget to go to our Facebook and give us a like at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you know what? While you're there, why don't you click one of the links and go over to reviewandroast.com and start rating some of our stuff. And if you're feeling froggy, you can write your own review even. How does that sound? Yeah, I think it sounds awesome.
You don't have to. I mean, we'd be happy if you went there. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we also have a couple of Instagrams at Review and Roast, at The Comic Roast, at Star Wars Tabletop. Check those out. And head to comicroast.com to listen to all of our podcasts. Or our newest place you can listen is head on over to Google Play, Play Music or whatever. We are on the Play Store now, so go ahead and search Comic Roast.
You sold
there. Yeah, I couldn't. I never know what the hell it's called because it's Play Music, but it's Google Play, but it's
googleplaymusic.org.
Dot your face.
Nice.
Nailed it. All right.
And hopefully when this is running, we have the patreon.com/reviewandroast. Check and see. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's not. If it is.
If it is, that'll be awesome. Come give us a high five. If not, it'll be up soon. I was waiting on that, but Mike spoiled it.
So. Nah, I'm going to spoil it. This is the inaugural.
All right. So puts the pressure on.
Do it.
All right. See you guys.